Welcome to episode 5 of ITV Snacks, a series of short conversations about issues in international taxation. So, Harriet.
Hello.
How are you again?
I am incredibly excited about the latest news out of the United Nations. No, I'm kidding. I'm appropriately excited about it.
Wow. Sell it to the listeners. Right, so there's been stuff happening, hasn't there? As we record this, it's now November the 28th. And if you're in Gibraltar, you're 2 days away from having to file your tax return.
Gibraltar, get your tax returns filed.
It's 28th of November, and 4 or 5 days ago, stuff happened in the UN in relation to what we covered in our international tax turf war
episode. Can I just say, I think other stuff happened in the UN over the last 4 or 5 days as well.
Yeah, there's quite a lot on. They've got there's some issues to deal with. Several wars.
Many of them not tax related.
Yeah, tax is where it's at. So I have in front of me an article from ITR.
International Tax Review.
Thank you.
Sam Sholey.
Yeah, let's give a big shout out to Sam Sholey. And it says that a greater UN role has been secured after disagreements between developed and developing countries over the OECD's influence in global tax reform.
Yes.
Now, the backstory to that is G7 and the G20 initiated the ongoing international tax reform in the early 2000s.
Late 90s.
Began the process, at least. Yeah. We can argue about which version of BEPS we're on right now, but that's where it all started. Because they were concerned that their tax base was being eroded and profits shifted away from taxation towards lower tax jurisdictions.
Yes.
So that is essentially a problem, or is perceived as being a problem, of developed economies rather than developing economies. Because the G7 and the G20 were solving their problem, right? They weren't solving the problem of Lesotho, or
they were. Yes, they had a problem and they looked for a solution.
Yeah, and then they instructed the OECD to do it. So we're talking that only the developed countries set the agenda, and then yes, they've created the inclusive framework, which
brings in smaller jurisdictions, the developing and least developed jurisdictions as well.
Yeah,
but there's been some argument about how much input they actually have.
Yeah, and we've talked about that previously, right?
Yeah.
So the UN has stepped in.
They did. They wrote a paper of some description.
Which we talked about.
We did.
We talked about it in that previous episode. And there's been a resolution?
There's been a resolution, yeah. So the episode where we talk about the UN paper was episode 50, very special episode, entitled International Tax Cooperation Turf War.
Yeah.
That was Graham's title, by the way.
It's a zinger.
And so there's been a resolution. So to give a little bit more detailed background to this, not much more detailed, Nigeria produced a revised draft resolution for the promotion of inclusive and effective international tax cooperation. That was produced on the 15th. We got the original one on the 11th of October. So on the 15th, we have this revised version. Those are both from Nigeria. And then we get some proposed amendments by the UK on the 20th of November.
Right. And what did His Majesty's Government of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland...
not like.
God bless them. What did they say? What was their amendment?
So, they did not like operative paragraphs 1, 2, 3, bits of 6... and bits of 8. So
all the bits that said they're not in charge.
possibly. And so I'm essentially what the UK wanted. So let's look at what the UK said. So this was the UK amendment. They wanted to emphasise that developing a UN framework on international tax cooperation is needed in order to strengthen international tax cooperation and make it fully inclusive and more effective. And they wanted that to replace So yeah, that was to replace emphasising that increasing the legitimacy, stability and resilience of international tax rules is in the common interest of all relevant stakeholders in tax systems and requires scaling up international tax cooperation by establishing the legal basis for fully inclusive and more effective international tax cooperation in terms of substance and process.
Wow.
Bit watered down.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So they... And I'm looking at this at the article. It's 48 nations voted against.
Yeah.
They were all apparently developed countries.
Yeah.
There were some 9 countries abstained, of which 4 were OECD members. So I think the problem with this, right, is there's 52 countries that don't want it out of 200. That's 25%. And,
yes.
And that 25% represents...
a lot of the wealth and soft power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 90% of the world economy, right? Something along those lines.
I wouldn't care to guess.
But the OECD represents that sort of magnitude of
yes.
the global economy. Doesn't
yes, it does, yeah.
So though it's getting smaller. If the UN can't carry the people with all the economic clout with them... and there is an alternative, which they all back.
Which is the OECD.
Which is the OECD.
At the moment.
Imperfect though it is, I'm not sure that it's going to get off the ground, despite how many resolutions they've put through.
It's certainly an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact that this has been brought, I think primarily by the African Union,
yeah.
reading between the lines, is that... there's going to be a... we may not get full international tax cooperation.
Well, so you're saying they're going to...
there might be a bit of a Barney over it.
Might be a bit of a Barney. That's a technical word that we
yeah.
use in tax.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the things that bothers me, are we actually really going to get a different output here? Right? They're not going to chuck Pillar 2 in the bin. They're not going to chuck BEPS in the bin. Even if they seize control of it, are they just going to implement the OECD's agenda anyway?
Well... presumably the African Union thinks not, or the African Union doesn't mind that that's the case, provided that they feel they've got an equal seat at the table.
So maybe it's not about what's happening in the next 5 years, but what's happening in the next 50 years.
Possibly.
And then they need to seize control of it when there's a fair wind behind international tax reform. And the rich countries can't say no to reform right now.
No, that's right.
Because they've...
they've started
they've
the ball
the road, stepped on the road, right?
But equally, all of these jurisdictions that have bought into OECD measures like CRS and BEPS, it's quite difficult for them to say no to the OECD now. I mean, that's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah. So the inclusive framework, which we've had a pop at in the past, right, as being not very inclusive, it does have this thing that we talk about every time we talk about it, which is that it doesn't just include UN member states. It includes
OECD
other taxing
member
authorities.
States.
No, it doesn't just include UN member states, sovereign
Sorry,
sovereign
yes.
nations.
So, yeah, it can include places like Gibraltar, Jersey, which
yeah.
are not, which have interesting constitutional relationships with a third jurisdiction.
Yeah. So, which are not acknowledged as entirely sovereign, maybe. Could we go that far?
Yes, and so who couldn't participate in the UN because
yeah.
they don't have the...
so they're excluded. So the inclusive framework could, if everybody who was in the UN joined, plus all the others, actually be more inclusive than the UN if they modified the agenda setting rules.
Yes. Yeah, possibly.
So I would personally rather reform that...
than start over.
Than start a whole new thing at the UN...
It would seem to be a better option, and even potentially a fairer option.
Yeah. Or even just transfer the inclusive framework from the OECD to the UN.
Yes, because, I mean, many of the people in the inclusive framework are not full OECD members, are they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not?
Exactly.
Why the UN couldn't have similar input?
140-something members. Is it 140 now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That they could just... chunk the whole thing across the UN, the OECD secretariat, the advisory or something. They could reform that better than I think than starting the whole process again.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we agree.
I think we probably do. We usually do in the end.
Yeah, but you're always wrong to start off with. So,
I'm just lost for words here.
We think it's unlikely that this will gain sufficient traction to really challenge the inclusive framework at the moment.
Yes. Yes.
We acknowledge that the inclusive framework is not all that inclusive as it stands today.
We do.
But it does exhibit some characteristics that we'd like to see as the basis for whatever does eventually exist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a compromise, isn't there? They're not going to enter into a standoff and two entirely separate tracks of tax reform.
But think of the fees, Graham. No, that would be disastrous.
It would be. Because, yeah, you just get... The world would just be separated into the two groups, the North and the Global North, Global South.
Yeah, and we don't want that.
We don't
want no that. One wants that. I
do query the African Union statement that says the decades-long fight of Global South countries to establish a fully inclusive process at the United Nations to participate in agenda setting and norm setting on international tax is now a reality. I don't believe there's been a decade-long fight to establish that.
Well, to be fair, we haven't been at the UN for decades, or ever, in my case, so we don't know, do we?
I don't know. I just think it's just, yeah. No, I don't think that's I don't think that's right.
I'm not sure it's a statement we can verify.
Well, as we know, verifiability is the test of whether. that's a philosophy joke, verificationism. And
yes, I got it.
So I think that... No, I know you got it. Stop doing that.
You know, I'm sensitive about my inability to get philosophy jokes.
So I think that... Well, it's interesting. There's more news to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, watch either this space or a space. Because this, I think there will be further developments and hopefully they will... result in a fairer system, whether it's in the UN, the OECD, or somewhere else altogether.
But we're really, really against a bipolar system with two sets of people going head to head, saying that they've got a slightly better tax reform than everybody else.
Well, look at the disaster with FATCA and CRS, and then when CRS didn't get there in time, and the EU didn't get there in time, we all just ended up effectively adopting FATCA, didn't we?
Yeah, I think.
But in a slightly rubbish way.
Yeah. This is going to be problematic. This is not going to end well for anybody, that what's going on with you.
Let's see where it gets to.
We'll have a big fight and then we'll end up with the same thing.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Right, okay. So thank you very much for listening to our very short episode on this. If you like what you heard, then we do longer format episodes under the brand International Tax Bites. And please listen out for our future episodes. Bye.